Caleb Herring's on the horn with us. Caleb, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
We're good. We're good. I had a chance to go over and watch UNLV football practice today. Spirited. Had a nice conversation with Javen White. You know, he's still fired up. There's some good news on Armani Rogers. But let's go back to last week, and obviously, you know, much of the market down in the dumps, UNLV football fans down in the dumps. What was the biggest narrative for you coming out of that San Jose State game as they fall to a winless team?
The biggest narrative was, I would say, well, there's a couple. Where this leaves the season, I guess, hanging in the balance, because going into November, there's not very many, if you're looking ahead, winnable games left, and it would be devastating to think of projecting, you know, a two-win season and finish this thing out. I think that was probably the scariest thought. But positive-wise for, like, players on the field, I think Tylee Collins was one of the biggest stories. I mean, he had a real coming out party, if you will. He's shown why Coach Sanchez is excited about him. But yeah, I think that's overshadowed by the fact that they lost to a winless team, and the way they lost with so many points being given up. So I think that's the story. Could this be possibly a two-win Rebel season just based on looking ahead at the schedule to come?
You're mentioning, you know, bright spots and trying to find bright spots, and, you know, certainly Collins has been one of them. Do players, when players are in a season like this that's not going the way they wanted, do they look for bright spots, or do you think players kind of feel the pessimism around, you know, other people looking in? How do players kind of view a season like this?
Well, I think from personal experience, players don't really get as much exposure, I guess, or as much they don't care as much as what the outside people are saying. So there may be some internal feelings of, man, this is a lost season. There may be a point where they realize they're not going to reach their team goals. So you sort of start looking at some individual achievements that you can maybe focus on, maybe working on your game, adding your stats, if you will, whatever, and just competing in your one-on-one individual, you know, assignment on the field each week. But I don't think as a player you necessarily get distracted with what the outside world is saying. I think sometimes maybe the quarterbacks do, because they kind of are the main target of a lot of the criticism. But as far as college sports, the players don't really get much of the blame as far as the media goes. The media is always more directed at the head coach and maybe the quarterback sometimes. So players, probably it's just the same thing week in and week out. Just try to compete, do the best you can, and hopefully make your season stats a little bit better by the end of it.
You say that players don't really hear that, but, I mean, it is – and you didn't play very long ago, but social media has exploded to the point where people feel like entitled to actually like tweet at players a lot of times. So, I mean, it's hard to really shield them from the outside world and what's going on out there.
It is very hard. And that was probably the one thing that I didn't account for, was the social media when I said that, because everybody now has an active account. They're verified, and, you know, it's so easy to look somebody up because all the kids have their, you know, their real names and their jersey numbers as their Twitter handle. So it's real easy to click up and look at Armani Rogers or tweet him, whatever you want, whatever you feel. Which, I mean, some schools, I know when I was playing, we had a no social media policy. We weren't allowed to be on Twitter. So maybe some of it was to protect against that. Maybe some was to filter our mouths and not have, you know, any blatant errors in the media on our own part. But yeah, there's certainly a little bit more to guard against now with social media being as widespread as it is and as easy to access. So players are a little bit naked, so to speak, like when it comes to social media. If you're doing bad, somebody has, you know, the ability to let you know about it directly in your DMs or by tagging you on your Twitter account.
I remember the no social media policy, but did you guys get around that? Did you have burner accounts or anything?
At this point, I think we are past the statute of limitations, so I can say yes, we did have some of us did have burner accounts, but that was before there was a concept of the burner account, like an official name for it. But yeah, there's people that found ways around it. We just obviously couldn't say much about, you know, UNLV, which is kind of the way that it was intended. The rule was intended to kind of keep UNLV out of our social media accounts.
So, looking back at the game on Saturday, going to San Jose State, I know people have been saying, like, you know, how can you lose to San Jose State, all these other comments, but I guess going into that game, you have to understand that San Jose State also sees that as their big one chance to get a win as well. I mean, it's not like you're just going against some team that's just no good, doesn't have a win. You have to know that you're going to get their best effort, and that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, I think going into the game, a lot of people saw the 0-7 in San Jose's record, and they assumed that this was a terrible team. But San Jose has been in some very close games. Just the week before UNLV, they played San Diego State, and it was a nail-biter. Like, it came down to the wire. So they went to 5 overtimes with Hawaii earlier this season, which Hawaii started off the year phenomenally, and they were one of the top teams in the conference at the time. And they also played Oregon and Washington State, two Pac-12 teams that are competing for the Northern Division of that conference. So those are some of the games that they played in that contributed to that 0-7 start. But they're a good team as far as like their offensive production. They have some weaknesses, obviously, but going into the game, assuming that you were playing a terrible team that's 0-7 and this was kind of a gimme win, was a trap game. And I mentioned that a little bit with Russ on the broadcast on our side before the game, that they were going to be hungry just as much as anybody else, because they felt that a couple of the games on their schedule, they got robbed out over. They should have at least had a win or two somewhere along the way, and that UNLV was the team that they can get back on track with. And who knows? I mean, maybe for them, the season turns around at that point. But they had some talented guys on the field. So it's not, you know, they got scholarship guys just like UNLV does. So to overlook them or in any way, if you're a UNLV fan or a UNLV player for that matter, was a crucial mistake.
Rebels football with 5 straight losses, really struggling on defense. Stick with me on my line here. So they've gone to more of a passing offense because Gillum can throw the ball. But do they actually need to be more run-based and possession-based because the defense is struggling so much? It's quite the quandary when you're coming up, because you're trying to win games too.
It is. It is a quandary. Like, I said, even when Armani was the quarterback, when Armani was there and the defense started to show signs that they're struggling, and even if you're just facing a high-powered offense, one of the strategic elements of football is kind of a chess match. The game within the game is, how do you counteract that? If your defense is your weakness, the saying is the best defense is a strong offense. Well, in order for that to be true, your offense needs to be on the field more than your defense does. So I said things like maybe not going no huddle so much and slowing down the tempo on offense, even when you're having successful drives, just kind of being more methodical and controlling the time of possession so that your defense is on the field for less time. And that's one of the things that I think the Rebels could have done back when Armani was, and they could still do now. Obviously, going more pass-oriented kind of takes away one of their biggest strengths, which is Lexington Thomas. And a lot of it isn't the play calling. It's just Max making decisions on the run-pass option where he decides to throw it instead of running it, which kind of tilts the balance of the offense more in favor of the pass when you look at the end stat sheet. But I definitely think that those are some of the things that they can do to help the defense. Now, the defense has to get it together. You can only hide them so much as an offense. And if you're putting up 30-plus points a game, you should be winning those games. So there's only so much they can do. But, yeah, those are some of the things to do to help a struggling defense, is to stay on the field longer, slow the pace down, and run the ball more so that the game clock continues to run.
So what you mentioned, some players kind of looking around at, you know, finding motivation, individual stats, whatever they can, you know, kind of find to come to put it together. But what is the team focus? What is the goal for the team to close out the season?
That's a tough one, because I think obviously the goal should be one game at a time, win the next one. And I think especially when you're having a losing skid of 5 games, you just got to get over that first hump and win one game. So that should be the first goal, obviously, is to win the games. But I think another goal that I think the coaches would try to do is to get back healthy. I think there's some injuries, not only to Armani, but on the defense side of the ball that hurt them last week. So get healthy and take care of each other. But also, you've got to realize that you got a lot of guys that are returning. So you have to, even if you don't get the wins, even if, you know, the health doesn't come back by the end of the season, you have to find a way to fight the natural tendency to kind of give up on things, because once that attitude sets in, it's hard to come back then the next year or come back during fall camp or spring ball next year or the off season with the same fire that you had with expectations. So you have to try to do the best you can as a team. I know the coaches can do so much, but as a team, to kind of fight against that sort of giving up on the season. So yeah, win the next game, get healthy and make sure you keep your morale up, because you have a lot of returning players that are going to be back and with plenty to fight for potentially your senior year and your last year in college football. So kind of riding that through the rest of the season is what I would say as a player would be my main focus.
All right, Caleb, we appreciate a couple minutes. We'll have an hour with you tomorrow on the Tony Sanchez radio show live from Born and Raised. We'll see you, okay?
All right, guys, appreciate it.
There you go, Caleb Herring, former quarterback of the Rebels.